Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. We're in Numbers 11, which, if I have my numbers right, is September 27th, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, I think. In any case, we're doing Numbers 11, selected verses 4 to 6, 10 to 16, 24 to 29. And then Dr. Veltz will be doing Mark 9, 38 to 50. And I'm kind of anxious to talk about the connection between these two texts. Numbers 11 is sort of a significant moment because the people of Israel have been at Mount Sinai since Exodus 19. Those are actually two significant turning points in the Pentateuch, both historically and even structurally, because the middle of the Pentateuch, from the second half of Exodus through the first half of Numbers and all of Leviticus, happens at Mount Sinai. It's kind of the central mountaintop experience, if you will, of the Pentateuch, with Leviticus at the heart. And I always tease in Bible class that that's probably the least interesting and least studied book in the Pentateuch, when in some ways you might want to make a case that it's at the heart of the matter, the sort of sacrificial, if you would, means of grace by which God's people were made holy by God's action through means. But now with Numbers 11, this is where they leave Sinai. And what's interesting is that you have two sections in the Pentateuch, Numbers 11 and Exodus 16 and 17, have a high level. This is the two places where, one, you have the manna stories, and two, you have almost a concentration of the words for complain and grumbled. They get out of Egypt, they complain and grumble. They leave Sinai, they complain and grumble. There's a pattern here. And this is where we are. So let's just pick up the story now. Again, we're going to jump around a little bit, but this isn't too bad of an omission. I'm always suspicious when the lectionary suggests you skip verses. It's kind of like you can tune out for a few minutes of my sermon, and that's all right. But it's a very long pericope otherwise. So in verse 4, we start out now. They moved out, and this is an interesting word right off the bat. The whatever this is, the ha sapsuf. This seems to be almost a made-up noun from the verb asaf, to gather. And this is kind of all the folks gathered there. Sometimes it's translated, the whole gang, you might say, including some of the riffraff that kind of came along for the ride. And there is a sort of natural tension going on, but this is kind of the whole gang that gathered together, however you're going to work this out, which were in its midst. Bikir bo, that's from care of midst, in its midst being Israel's or the people's. And what did they do? They hith awud a ta'awa. They awad an awa. This awa is also the word in the 10th commandment. To really want something beyond what is appropriate. So they desired a desire. They had my guess is this is translated, they had a really strong desire or craving for something. And yashuvu, this is probably the adverbial use of shuv in a hen diades, where two verbs are really verb and an adverb. And in which case, shuv, to return, is usually translated again. You could say, and they returned and they wept, but returned where? Doesn't make sense. So they wept some more. They again wept. Also, the B'nai Yisrael. Is this something kind of distinct from the Asasuf? And they said, who, me, ya kileni basar. Yakaleni is actually a hifil. Who will cause us to eat meat, basar? We remember the fish stuff, the daga, which we ate in Mitzrayim in Egypt, chinam. Chinam is an adverb that just means freely, without cost, without expense. Not freely in the sense of sort of liberally in terms of portion, but without expense. It's interesting that fish kind of heads the list here, which certainly came out of the Nile River. But they remember, and this is very similar to the stuff in Exodus 16, where would that we were back in Egypt and where we had plenty to eat. The obvious lesson is how quickly things turn, how quickly they forget. We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely, and now you have a list of words that you probably have to look up. And their vegetables or things you eat. Kashuim are cucumbers of some sort. It's never really sure what this stuff really is. And the melons and the katsir actually is the word for grass. And this is usually assumed to mean leeks, which is actually a form of, we don't eat leeks much in North America, but it is just kind of tasteless grass. Sort of like celery or something, only a lot worse and a lot less flavor. That's possible. Leeks and whatever. These are onions, and shumim is garlic. So quite a lunch of Mediterranean food. I mean, if you've ever eaten Mediterranean food, you kind of go, yeah, that's what you do. Six. It's nine upside down. Six. And now our nephesh is dried out. Yabeshad, from Yavash, to be dry. Our nephesh is dried out. There ain't anything except bilti is the negative word, usually with nominal sentences or infinitives. Here it just means except. There is nothing except to the man, that's the manna word, of our eyes. So they're sick of the manna. Okay, they've been eating it for at least a year. Verse 7, and the manna was like, oh, this is the part we skip now, and I will skip it just for the sake of time. This goes on for several verses to kind of describe the manna. It's kind of interesting. I think it's back in Exodus that the frosted flakes is kind of the metaphor, but I'll leave that go for another day. Pick it up at 10. And Moses... Now here we get to the heart of the matter. And Moses heard the people weeping, bokeh, according to their families, a man at the tent, at the door, the tent flap of his tent, and the anger of the Af Yahweh, the anger of Yahweh burned. He got really mad, Mo'od. And in the eyes of Moses, it was also Ra. There's kind of the general sense of Ra as bad, evil. And Moses said, El Yahweh, Lama, why, great reaction here, Moses, why have you, Hifil of Ra'ah, Geminate, caused evil? Why have you done evil, caused evil to your servant, Evid, Avdka, i.e. me? Why have you caused evil to your servant, and why not have I found chen in your eyes? To put the burden, to put a burden, a masa from the verb nasa, upon this note. I'm sorry. To put the burden of all this people, construct chain. To put the burden of all this people, alai, upon me. Question mark, he interrogative, anoki, am I, or have I, harithi, have I conceived, hara is to conceive, have I conceived all this people, if, maybe you'd say as though, or no, let's leave it with if I had born them, yuladtihu, nice form with an object suffix, if I had born them, then you would say to me, bear it, again, the suffixes are singular here, but the antecedent is the people, from Nasa, bear it in your cake is always translated bosom, which is a little old English. It really means lap, or you know where you put stuff in your midsection there. as the old main. This is interesting because this means nursemaid, and it should be feminine, and usually is. But you wonder if Moses is just, in a sense, he's applying it to himself. See, so it's like I'm a masculine nursemaid. As a nursemaid would lift up the yonake. Yanak means to suck, so yonake is really a technical term for a suckling baby, an infant. An infant upon the land which you swore to their fathers. A very interesting metaphor here that Moses uses as the one who now, it's like I gave birth to these people and I gotta drag them around like you deal with little kids, or even worse, a nursemaid. And, of course, he blames Yahweh for putting him in this position. From where, may Ayin, is to me, basar, meat, latath is the infinitive of Nathan, to give to all this people. Because, baka, they are weeping against me, saying, tina, imperative, give to us meat, so that we may eat. Here's a real almost textbook example of the imperative followed by the unconverted future. The wow is not wow consecutive, which is, I think, a lot of purpose clauses that are missed in translation. So give us meat and we will eat. You see, the purpose of the imperative implies the future action. So I'm telling you this so that we can eat. Especially where you have the so-called hortatory form of no-kal with the comments hey at the end, the cohortative form. 14. Not I am able, from yakal, to be able, imperfect first person. I am not able. I, note the emphatic pronoun here, I live adi, to my aloneness. I alone am not able to bear, this is from Nasa again. Nice. We didn't have time to go to analyze all these irregular verbs of Nasa, but there's some great forms in this one, just in terms of reviewing. To bear all this people, ki, because kaveth here simply means heavy. That's the basic meaning of kaveth, as sort of, it's also the theologically rich term kavoth, which has to do with God's gravitas. I really think that's the best concept here, something that has significant mass or weight. Because heavy from me. They are heavier than I. That's the idiom. 15. And if, now look at this line, and if like kaka, like this, you are doing to me, hargeni, from harag, imperative, slay me. Nah. There's your nah. Whatever you do with that. Slay me. Infinitive, absolute. Really, certainly slay me. If I have found Cain in your eyes. He's complaining that he hasn't found favor in his eyes, and now he's saying, if I do find favor, will you please kill me? And I'll do not let me see. Nice cohortative, imperfect, negated. With Al, and do not let me see, the Beth here is probably direct object, do not let me see my Ra'ah, my badness, my wickedness. Here it's probably just the horrible situation I'm in. 16. Yomer Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moses, gather, here's the imperative of Asaph, gather to me 70 men from the elders of Israel, which you know that they are elders of the people. Now, man, if we had time, there's a lot you could kind of unpack, but there's an awful lot that just isn't explained here. In other words, are there elders that he didn't know? I mean, these have to be sort of the bona fide elders. And as you know, later, you got Eldad and Medad, who were noted as being written in the book, so they had to be sort of registered. And its leaders, and take them to the tent of meeting, and gather. Let them gather themselves, or they will gather themselves there with you. Now I want to read 17, even though that's skipped in the lectionary. And I will come down, and I will speak with you there, and yet I will reserve some of from the ruach which is upon you, and I will put it upon them. and they will bear with you the burden of the people, and not you will bear it alone. All right? That's the point of this text. And the lectionary skips what's kind of the key verse. And we get all sorts of goofy ideas about how this has to do with the Spirit of God. It's actually reminding, and I'll say this in a minute, that it's not as simple as you're not alone, but that the task here is actually to get all people to do what God's people do, and to do it also through the leadership that's been put into place to do that. Now let's quick go on in 24. We still got to finish this. And Moses went down. So then you have this interlude where he gets the people together. Then Moses went down and spoke to the people the words of Yahweh, and he gathered 70 men from the elders of the people, and he caused them to stand there all around the ohel, the tent. 25. And Yahweh came down in a cloud. Oh, hey, now it gets interesting. And he spoke to him, and he, this is that same word for hold back, and he reserved some of, or from the Ruach, which was upon him, and he gave it upon the 70 men, the elders. And it happened when the Ruach rested upon them, that's the infinitive of Nuach, they prophesied, and they did not continue. All right, now you got two critical issues here for some interpretation. What does it mean that they prophesied? Is this simply to, I think prophecy is fundamentally speaking the word of God according to the will of God, getting it right, and doing what God wants you to do. You can do a lot. Now, there's true that especially the hithpael here can mean sort of be in some sort of a prophetic ecstatic state. You have other places where it is the only time in the Pentateuch that this verb is used. So it's kind of hard to know exactly what it means. And it's not like they're rolling and foaming at the mouth here. It's that they're actually kind of getting it, which is the problem about the people complaining against God and not understanding what it means to people of God, even out in the wilderness. All right, 26. And there were left two men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were in the writings. All right, so they were sort of recorded, or what, official registry, in the Lutheran annual. And not they went out to the tent word, that's a hey, nirag, or hey, sorry, a hey directive, and they prophesied in the camp. And, you know, again, this is just kind of a bizarre little incident. And the na'ar, and the guy, this almost is a technical term, ran and reported to Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, from his answered and said, Adonai Moses, stop them, from kala, object suffix. And he said to Moses, blink my eyes. This is from Kana, to be zealous. Zealous are you for me, and who will give? This is idiom for who, for sort of a would that. Who would give that all the people of Yahweh were prophets? And who would give? Would that Yahweh would, and that Yahweh would give his Spirit upon them. So far the text. And Moses was gathered in all the camp. He and the elders of Israel kind of went home. End of incident. Well, there you are. Now, I have no idea what this has to do with Mark chapter 9. Okay, let's get there. Here, you got to sit here, Jim, because you got the mic.